You're listening to WORT Madison. Stay tuned for Mel and Floyd. Never pre-recorded with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smartin Pants.
Hello.
Hi. Happy, what day is today? Canadian Thanksgiving? Or?
I think it's just that I'm
Oh,
just...
no, it's Indigenous Peoples Day. That's it.
Oh, is
yeah,
it?
I okay. think so. Yeah. All right.
Thought it was Black Friday.
It's Native American Heritage Day. That's it.
Okay. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So it's not Black Friday.
Well, it's that too.
I think we need a real Black Friday.
This is America. Black Fridays matter.
Yeah, exactly.
All Fridays matter.
Oh no! Don't go there.
So, what did you do for Thanksgiving?
Oh,
did you give thanks?
You know, I don't think I did.
Oh, okay.
I think I forgot. Yeah. So I gave you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. All the people thanking you, yeah. Right?
About damn time, dude.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to be
here. Because I keep a list during the year of
yeah.
people who should
oh,
thank,
sure.
thank me. And
yeah,
then,
yeah, yeah.
And then on Thanksgiving. I,
right. Yep. You're running for president?
I contact them and call in the favors.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be here, but... We weren't able to go visit my my Aunt Hilda,
yeah.
And so hopefully she's having a good time. I'm going to call her up and see how she, what she did.
She lives in Columbus?
She lives in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Home of the neo-Nazi marches. Big surprise to her, by the way.
What did I see? Some right-wing politician was actually making excuses for that, saying, "Well, we don't know whose side they were on."
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's in the name.
Whose side are the Nazis
yeah,
on?
Yeah,
that's the
imagine.
Big question.
Yeah, that's something. It's a puzzler for the ages. Yeah. Yeah. So here we are. So Companion and I did something that we've never done before. We
What's
actually
that?
Went out and had our Thanksgiving meal at a restaurant. There was a lovely restaurant and a very nice server who was very fun. And,
mm-hmm.
and
what was
and
her name?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But anyway, she was. I wish I had. I couldn't find it on the check. Actually, that was part of the problem.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, no, it was very nice and. It was something we had planned to be out of town, and so we weren't. And so I thought, well, what's plan B? And we thought, well, let's not make anything. Let's just go and
yeah.
live off the fat of the land. So we did, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And we had some hard cider, which just like the pilgrims would. And
right. And then you know, took some land from somebody.
Yeah, I suddenly had this urge.
Went to Sun Prairie.
That casino is mine.
That'll be the next thing. They'll start reclaiming
yeah,
the casinos.
Yeah,
why should sure. they get such favorable treatment?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Don't even go there. So I mean, I just want to remind people.
So you had Irish food for Thanksgiving.
No, we had the regular old.
We went to
an Irish place.
Oh, it was an Irish place.
But they had a special
meal. Oh, I thought they just like,
do.
You know, boiled up a shoe or something and gave it to you.
Yeah. Well, normally I would eat that, but I wanted to be, you know,
wait,
our pilgrim ancestors.
The gold rush.
So yeah, exactly. So, no, it was kind of fun. But I just want to remind everybody, again, we got some great suggestions a couple weeks ago when we were doing the call-in show. If you have any ideas about what we should do or any knowledge of events that are occurring or groups that are forming, around the inauguration. Please let me know, because Companion and I are going to be in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, and not in a positive way. I've said this to a couple people, and they looked at me like, what? It's like, yeah, I'm getting in early on this one. I'm not going to be left behind, and then all hail the leader. No, exactly the opposite.
I was a Patriot-level donor.
Yeah, little known to you. But no, we're going to be there, and I know there are things that are going on, but I'm just curious if Minions have any ideas about what might be going on that it could help.
Well, drop us a note at melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com.
Yes, please do. Some suggestions and things that you might know about personally that are going on that Companion and I could be a part of.
So. Mm-hmm. Good.
Did you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade?
No, I didn't. I'm not into parades too much.
So. There's a story this weekend about Macy's. And this was, I love this story. This is that Macy's announced just this week that an employee had, quote, intentionally misstated and hidden up to $154 million in delivery expenses over the past few years.
Was that wrong?
Yeah. This was such a huge hit.
Wow.
That the retailer had to delay its earnings report for the year. So the department store chain has been, they've been rushing to release an abridged set of financial results, which were, by the way, you're not surprised, kind of a mixed bag. As a result of this, their shares fell to, you're right, we're on the knife's edge in terms of our economy, aren't we? Their shares fell by 8% in pre-market trading.
Wow.
After the surprise preliminary report. Yeah, they said they found the accounting error while preparing their results for the quarter, which ended on November 2nd. And
was it an error or an embezzlement?
No, they think it was on purpose. Yeah. They described it as intentionally misstated.
Okay.
An investigation was opened, and the employee who's responsible for small package delivery is you might not be surprised, no longer with the company.
It's in a country that doesn't have an extradition treaty with us.
Yeah, right. In the three-year period of the accounting issue in which the employee hid up to $154 million, the retailer said it had recorded about $4.36 billion in delivery expenses. So that's not a huge percentage. It's a small percentage of their total delivery.
Well, that's what you
services.
Have to do when you're stealing from a company. Yeah. Is just do a little at a time.
Yeah, and a little at a time, and something that's like a big amount. You're taking a small amount of a big amount.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Right. So.
Yep, I learned that many years ago. Whoops, did I say that?
Our University of the Air for today. Yeah,
right. So. Just trying to help the little guy and the little gal the little whatever.
There's a Madison nonprofit that I won't name them, but this last year they had an $800,000 budget deficit.
Yes.
And then they found out that the guy who handled their finances had embezzled $800,000.
Wow.
Amazing coincidence there.
Yeah, yeah. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, so grandma stabs family during Thanksgiving Day argument.
Been there, done that.
Oh, this was in Memphis.
Of course.
55-year-old grandma.
Dangerous age.
Been arrested after allegedly stabbing her daughter and grandson on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Her daughter and her grandson.
This turkey's too dry. I'll dry you.
You voted for who? So actually, by my Thanksgiving, I kind of went with the trend here.
Yeah.
I had some raw milk.
Okay.
Raw turkey.
I hear the bird flu coming in. Yes, right.
raw Brussels sprouts.
Sure.
The raw sweet potatoes were a little
chewy.
But I figured everything's healthier if it's raw.
Yeah, yeah. So. I didn't think you ate meat.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I
don't.
Okay.
I'm joking.
You're joking.
Yes.
Oh, but the rest of that's not true either?
It's the brain worm talking.
I got to say, though, about the irate granny.
Yeah.
My grandmother, my dear sweet grandmother, my mother's mother, she was an amazing cook, and she made all sorts of great things. But she had to be careful when you asked her a question about the food. So if you said...
Oh, no.
If you said... What's in that?
Yeah.
She would be like, oh, it's this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
And she'd be very excited that you were interested. And if you said,
what is that? I know it's a slight nuance, but listen, if you're the preparer, it makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
She would be like, what do you mean, what is that? You know, so had to tread lightly on holidays.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, let's see. Wisconsin bar shut down after chickens and cocaine found inside.
The cocaine was in the chickens. No. That was the interesting part.
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay.
It was in Milwaukee, so they had live chickens and even livelier cocaine.
But, wow.
So
cool.
Yeah. I've told this story.
What's the name of the bar? I'm asking for a friend.
It shut down now.
So. Oh.
Police made the discovery while responding to a gunfire complaint.
Love it. That chicken doesn't even know how to handle a gun. What are you talking about?
He's high on cocaine. Ding, ding. So a long time ago, and I started going out with this woman, and after a while, I decided it was time to take her back to my hometown.
Awatawanamana.
Yeah, exactly. show her how I lived.
Yeah, and that was your first mistake. You're not into taxidermy, are you?
And we went to this bar that I would frequent when I was home.
Yeah.
And somebody brought a live chicken in there.
Wow.
And it was running across the bar, running around. People are laughing and having a great time. And she looked at me and goes, well, this answers a lot of my questions.
Yeah.
But there was no cocaine there as far as I know. But
as far as you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? This is the season now. We have a new president coming in. Probably one of the
who's that?
The zaniest we've ever had. And some people are starting to step up and say, "Well, you know what? I'm going to be really pushing back on this new presidency."
Okay.
And one person who has signaled that this is going to be their new approach is you'll be surprised to hear this, Senator Mitch McConnell.
Really?
Yes, he said that he's no longer has to be the majority leader.
Oh.
So he says that's going to empower him. Now, no disrespect, Mr. McConnell is 82, and I'm not sure what it means to be empowered at 82, but we'll see what happens.
Especially when he, like, blanks out every once in a while.
Well, but he says that he's the longest-serving Senate leader, and he's stepping down in January. But he says he's going to position himself to do the opposite, focusing on issues that could put him at odds with our incoming president on policy and personnel.
Oh, he's doing the Costanza strategy.
Yeah.
Doing the opposite of whatever he thinks he should do.
That's right. Bizarro Jerry is his best friend now.
I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
Yeah. So he's already said he's got some skepticism about some of the president-elect's picks. For his administration, which I don't know if you want to pick implies that there was some kind of cognition involved. I just think it was kind of like it happened.
I think they'd like summon them up with, you know, they had the blood of a newt or something.
Yeah. By the tufted horns of Beelzebub.
Oh.
By Lucifer's fiery eyes.
It's Matt Gaetz.
Yes, master.
Did you see they don't even want the FBI to do background checks on them?
Of course not.
And half of them have like these really shady ties with Russia.
That's the way you do it. You make it. You get somebody that is. You're the only person that's going to actually give them a job. You know, because everybody else is going to look at them and go, "What?"
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the strategy. I mean, that's a form of personal loyalty. Every. You know, totalitarian, authoritarian, plutocratic, oligarchic regime always is based on that kind of level of personal mm-hmm. loyalty.
Yeah. And family.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you get them to do the stuff you want them to do, too. And then when they do it, you can hold that over their heads.
Yeah.
Like I asked you to do X and it's really dodgy. You feel like, okay, I shouldn't do X, but, you know, the leader says. And then you can say, hey, by the way, you're the one that did X.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how Putin does it. And then he throws him out a window.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you want to get rid of him, it's easy. It's like, oh, I got to get rid of this guy. He did X.
Yeah,
you know, he did this terrible thing that I knew nothing about.
Right. So, yeah, exactly.
Oh, remember J.D. Vance?
Who?
Yeah. he apparently is, you know, he's been kind of left in the off the center stage lately.
Sure,
So he was trying to get back there. He I don't know, tweeted out or X'd out or whatever. Some stupid graphic. I mean, it's this, you know, the famous Norman Rockwell painting of Thanksgiving where they got the family gathered around the table and
they're all grinning way too much.
Yeah, they're all grinning way too much, and the mom has a like big platter of turkey and the dad standing behind her and they're all so he did like a really crappy Photoshop and put like Trump's face on the dad.
Oh, good Lord.
And then he put his face on the mom. And she's dressed there with the apron.
I'm stroking my beard.
And then instead of the turkey, they covered it up with an electoral map of the United States. So they're, and then the
J.D. Vance handed Trump?
No, they're handing it to the people at the table.
Oh.
And they're waiting. And somebody in the comments said, yeah, those are the billionaires waiting to carve up America.
Oh, yeah. No, that's exactly
it was a perfect analogy.
It's an oligarchic plutocracy.
Yeah.
And it's what all states eventually devolve into. And usually they're already that way, but they just hide it better. You know, it's just going to be kind of like, well, here it is. Here's what you got, folks.
Kind of there. You know, I mean, we've had... What a father and son, two father and son presidencies,
yeah, that's true.
And a father and a grandson,
that's true,
presidency. Yeah, so, yeah. But it's not a monarchy.
No,
so,
it's like Hollywood
or NFL coaches.
Who would know better how to be president than John Quincy?
He's got it in his jeans.
He sure does. Well, actually, his pink satin pants, which is what I wore back then. But.
Oh, what else we got here? So,
hey, Walmart is easing off its DEI commitments.
Now, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure those were really severely followed anyway. But because they're getting a lot of pressure from independent groups, supposedly independent groups, that are threatening boycotts and so on. And many companies are concerned about the threat of litigation. The targeting DEI programs at their companies after a 2023 Supreme Court decision struck down race-conscious college admissions. So there's basically been a lot of threats of boycotts against Walmart because they have tepid commitment to DEI.
Yeah.
But they made these pledges, of course, on DEI back in 2020 when they were sort of, it was the cultural moment and they were sort of had, you know, basically being forced to by the Times. But now they're pulling back and they're worried not only about their concerns about being boycotted, how it'll affect the bottom line, but also they're actually worried about being sued. And so there's where we are if you want to know how things are going.
Well, that's why you have these attacks for years and years on these types of things, and then you make it into an issue. I mean, it wasn't an issue. I mean, it didn't really...
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, it was good they were doing it, but nobody was really upset about it until they were told that you should be upset about this.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been listening to people talking about this whole tariff idea, and I just, is it just me, Mel, or are people just not getting it? Like, the tariff thing is just a campaign contribution engine, right? Because what happened, and this happened last time, is that basically everybody that didn't want to have a tariff slapped on their stuff.
Carve out exceptions.
They would carve out exceptions, and the carve out exceptions thing says that's the purpose. That's the purpose. Like, who's going to play ball with us?
We've seen that already. We saw construction industry, running down to Mar-a-Lago and kissing the ring. The tech industry, of course, and the ag industry.
Yeah.
They're all saying, well, can we be exempted from, not the tariffs, but the deportations and the tariffs.
Well, that'll be, if you look, I mean, I'm sure many of our listeners do, you know, read alternative, you know, takes on these things. And the last couple of days I've been reading a lot of especially leftist magazines and journals from Europe are trying to make sense of this. And a consensus is kind of arising that a lot of these things are going to be, it's going to be quite turbulent for the Trump coalition, because they're at each other's throats with respect to some of the programmatic areas that are being debated. I mean, it's not as if the desire to export, you know, a ton of people out of the United States is not going to affect major industrial areas and agriculture, as you point out. And there's going to be a lot of blowback from that. And there are going to be people who are in the financial and you know, industrial elites that are going to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to be interesting is to see is how quickly they start
you know, turning on each other.
Yeah.
The problem is the this one strategy for anybody who's trying to pursue a more progressive agenda is if you put up a big fuss about it, then you're going to end up getting blamed for it when it doesn't work, which it wasn't going to work anyway. It was all stupid to begin with. The whole stuff is stupid to begin with. But when it doesn't work, then you'll have some handy scapegoat. It'll be like the deep state stopped me or whatever.
Right,
you know?
Right. So, well, we've tried these mass deportations in the past, and it's always gone poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, after the railroads were built, the transcontinental railroads, we didn't need these Chinese workers anymore.
Yes.
And so it was what the Chinese
Exclusionary
Act.
Yeah.
And they got rid of them, and all of a sudden it's like, where'd all the labor go? Where'd all the workers go? And they did that in during the Eisenhower administration with Mexico, and I won't use the name of the program because it's an offensive term, but they had this operation again, it was a total disaster, and it's only done for PR purposes. So
there was a movie actually made, a noir movie made in the early 50s about that program, which had some Mexican actors in it, where they were trying to portray it as, you know, we're just trying to help you guys out so you're not exploited by American. I mean, they were trying to like put this, I'm serious,
oh my God.
And they were trying to put this like, I can't remember who was even in it now, maybe Ricardo Montalban or somebody, but they were trying to put this,
Charlton Heston.
Yeah, trying to put this this positive spin on it, like we're just, you know, you poor people don't understand how you're being used and abused.
So, I saw an article about a week ago, a short article. It was a piece that Google searches for who pays tariffs had spiked.
Yeah. Too late, morons.
Yeah, you might have wanted to do that a couple of months ago.
Oh dear.
I think that
Kamala Harris laid out a pretty, she said they're taxes. Do you need to know more?
Right.
Anyway.
No, China will pay this just absorb it, and nothing's going to change for you.
Right. And they're going to be perfectly fine with that.
And I mean, anybody who's like the least bit sentient knows that businesses always pass on their costs to the consumers. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of costs, high childcare costs are a driver of U.S. inequality. And this is an interesting way to look at this. When childcare costs are high, mothers without college degrees reduce their participation in the workforce.
Sure.
Whereas college-educated mothers do not, and that exacerbates family income gaps.
Wow.
Because it makes sense if you're only making, you know, $1,000 a month or whatever, and half of that has to go to childcare.
Yeah.
You know, why am I working? You know,
it's been over 50 years since the second wave feminist movement really took off in the United States that the demand for affordable childcare has been on the agenda, and you see how much progress has been made on this issue.
Well, we have more important things to do. Yeah. More important fish to fry. Huh?
Exactly. Hey, Maine just joined the list of states that has decided to sue the oil and gas companies.
Really? Why?
Over climate change. They're saying that ExxonMobil, Shell, and Chevron, and some other companies have engaged in is comparable to the cigarette companies.
Sure.
Have engaged in a decades-long campaign to conceal the effects of fossil fuels that they knew about, and also the way in which the combustion of fossil fuels has contributed to extreme weather. The lawsuit says that the companies have withheld what they know about the consequences of fossil fuel since at least the 1960s, and this has led to a financial burden on the state. So bad information means we make bad policy, and the people who supply the bad information need to be held to account. So this complaint was filed Tuesday in a Maine state court. It includes 7 violations, including failure to warn, negligence, nuisance. I love that. I love the idea of thinking of ExxonMobil as a nuisance. You've been so naughty.
I'm not touching you.
You're a nuisance. Trespass and unfair trade practices.
Oh, interesting.
By the way, it also included, yum, 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 the American Petroleum Institute, an industry group which the lawsuit alleges, quote, aided and abetted deceptive conduct by the fossil fuel companies.
Oh, wow.
Good luck, Maine.
So they joined some other states doing that? Or?
Yeah, there's 7 other states. I don't have the list of who they are in front of me right now.
I'm just curious.
Sorry. Yeah.
But we're not among them, unfortunately. But,
oh, okay.
But I love the idea of saying, hey, we base policy on what you, the experts, say about this particular thing, and you're freaking lying to us, and we could prove that in a court of law.
Don't they have, aren't there documents that were leaked that show exactly that?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what motivated this.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So. And it's the same pattern all the time with whatever it is. It's cigarettes, the sugar, lead, and oil.
Yeah.
Just the same stupid pattern all the time.
All the great stuff. Yeah. all the stuff that's the good for you.
Remember when you were reading comic books as a kid and asbestos was everywhere? It was always a thing because there was always a fire somewhere.
Right.
Or a character was the Human Torch or something.
They even
had like a villain, the Asbestos Man. But I think they gave.
He wasn't around very long.
I think they actually did give him cancer.
Oh, did they?
Eventually.
Oh,
you know, like in the 90s when they got more realistic.
Hey, let's bring that guy back.
let's give him cancer.
Sort of.
Attractive female students' grades drop with remote classes.
Oh, there you go.
So if you're an attractive female student, and they did these studies, and especially when they didn't have the cameras on, they found that the little bump you get from being attractive, because we know being attractive, gives you a bump in pretty much everything. Yeah.
The other thing that'll stop it dead is a gay teacher. Works every time. It's what are you trying to pull?
Yeah, but then the attractive males get that bump.
Exactly. I actually had a student one time who got a very low grade on a exam, and she came to talk to me about it. I was a teaching assistant over at UW-Madison, and she came to talk to me about it. And she was literally wearing the lowest cut blouse I've ever seen. and not only that, but she had gold sparkles on her chest.
Look here.
Yeah. Looky look. Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's not necessary.
Yeah, I know. Maybe she thought I needed extra incentive. I don't know.
Big arrow there. Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, and then she kind of hung over me, you know. And I said, let's talk about your exam.
See that tree? You're barking up the wrong one.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Oh, that's funny. But you were rated as like a hunky professor at one time.
I got rated
a professor.
They don't say hunky. They have a chili peppers for hot. and I've gotten like two or three chili peppers over the years. And I'm thinking, I've got some pretty sad students. I don't know what their deal is. But maybe their finger slipped or something. And they were doing this. They didn't understand how it worked.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. The local story, Paul's Bookstore is closing.
Oh.
After 70 years.
Yes, I know.
One of the oldest independent bookstores in town is going to close for good. And
when is it going to close?
It says early 2025, so I don't know if they have a date yet. But, it opened in 1954.
Yep.
And then in 1975, its founder, Paul Askins, died.
Yeah.
And then I think his wife took it.
Carol.
Took it over then.
I used to know Carol quite well back in the day.
Yeah. So it's going to close early in 2025. So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's primo space there. The Askins owned that building. So I bet.
Oh, really?
And that's, I think she's been hanging on to it for that long because, the heirs will get it and they'll make a bazillion dollars off of it.
Yeah.
And they'll put some horrifying thing in there. You know, I got to say, I'm really feeling bad right now about Madison in so many ways. And the thing that got me was I was walking down State Street the other day and how many, the tiny ecosystem of little businesses is just evaporating.
Yeah, it's a lot of,
a lot of empty
Under Armour and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and then you got the giant buildings that suck up all the, and I'm sure what's also happening is that once you've got the giant skyscrapers everywhere, then obviously the land prices go up. So, the small entrepreneur and the landowner do not have interests in common. And so I'm sure everybody's, rents are being raised. Every time a lease expires, they're being asked, for an outrageous amount of money, which they can't
pay. Nobody can pay. And so what'll end up happening is those buildings will eventually go too because they can't get any occupancy.
Right.
So it's just kind of sad to walk down the street and think about how vibrant and peculiar State Street used to be. It's like the old, you know, keep Austin weird feeling when I walk through there. It's like, no, it's dying. You know, that element of what Madison was is kind of falling apart as if it weren't gone, wasn't gone already. Sorry about that, folks,
but that's the
feeling of what it was like to go to college here and then to walk down State Street and see basically giant chains and or empty storefronts is just kind of dismaying.
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet, WRTFM.org. Could be listening in the future.
The
apocalyptic future. The Mad Max hellscape.
2 months from now. You might be listening 2 months from now.
Only Christy Noem can save us with her dog-gilling shotgun.
Oh.
Or you could be listening on in your pod, thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, who does the file management to get this stuff available through Spotify and Apple Pods and wherever you get your pods. So, all right, we're going to take a brief break, come back with some more stuff. You got anything good?
I want to talk a little bit about the new social media ban in Australia.
Oh, yeah, I've got that, too. And I have sad bananas and a castle of cheese.
Castle of cheese. Sounds good.
In case you need to be bound up.
Atlanta, Georgia. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Union Cab of Madison. Union Cab is seeking drivers to join their member-owned collective, formed in 1979. Those interested in a position with flexible scheduling, benefits, and a democratic employee-owned work environment can find more information at unioncab.com or by calling 608-242-2000.
And we're back.
Hey, got a story from, I don't know why this is fascinating to me. So I got a story from 1924, November 28th, 1924. This was in the New York Times.
Yeah.
Mary Kumziak, a 32-year-old maid employed by George H. Davy of Plainfield, New Jersey, attacked and killed him and injured his wife and daughter the previous day. Times reported, according to the article, Miss Kumziak, a Polish immigrant and devout Catholic, had several discussions about faith with her employer, who was a Presbyterian the night before. Miss Kumziak told authorities that the Lord told me to kill them, and I'm glad I got one of them. Those were the good old days.
The Lord.
So I'm just saying, if you were having a hard time with your family over religious and or political views, and to just be happy you're not living in the Davy household.
Hey, we got an email in the melonfloydmailbag@gmail.com asking if we want a blockchain or AI app. And
no.
And it's somebody named Abby Abhay. And we can get radio station blockchain apps or radio station and Android iOS apps. And so that'll be. So should I respond to Abhe?
We need that like a fish needs a bicycle.
Okay, I'll delete that. Two-Wheel Jerry sent us a story. Boy calls 911 for help with math homework in Wisconsin.
Hear, hear.
Dispatcher sends Shawano County Sheriff's Office deputy to help.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's a wonderful idea. That's a good thing to do. I mean,
hey, the United States Postal Service is issuing a new stamp. Did you hear about this?
No.
It's a stamp that has Betty White on it.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Going to release the new Betty White stamp in 2025. You remember Betty White died back at the end of 2021. She was about 3 weeks away from her 100th birthday, and so they thought that they would do a stamp, and it's a artist Dale Stefanos has created a digital illustration from a photo of her, a famous 2010 photo by the celebrity photographer Kwaku Alston. So regardless of personal politics, self-proclaimed supporters of both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris reacted with delight. So Betty White, hero for us all. We interviewed that one of the
The documentary.
Yeah, the documentary. We interviewed the documentarian. Yeah, here at the station. He was a very nice man, too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was sweet. I liked him. So. Yeah. We got an email from Phil.
So I just want to mention.
Oh,
so we've actually, it's 1 degree of separation from us and Betty White. I'm trying to get at there. We talked to a guy who did a documentary about Betty White. Okay.
So Phil wrote us an email. We talked last week about the new sauerkraut plant that Madison got. And he said, sorry for anyone looking forward to the incoming cabbage cannery, but that stuff is basically a chemical weapon when it starts being processed by the truckload. He said that.
Or by your intestines.
he said it in a previous job. He used to work at the Portage Daily Register. And he often drove past the Poignet's vegetable packing plant and its multiple sauerkraut canning runs.
Oh, dear.
And he said it's not good. And also we watched, we talked last week about the show The Prisoner.
Yes,
we had these globs. Oh, Floyd's here. Hey. So we talked about the globs washing. And Trixie's here.
Trixie's
all
here
right.
Too,
everybody's here. But we talked about the blobs washing up, and we made comments about The Prisoner and the blob.
Right. And we loved the blob.
And Phil pointed out that the blob had a name. It was called Rover.
Good boy. Good boy.
And number two had to clean up on the beach after Rover.
Accurately named number
two. Write your name there, buddy.
Right in the description, yes. Come on over.
Hi.
Floyd is here. Oh, my Lord. It's a holiday miracle.
It is a holiday miracle. So glad to be here.
How
good
you doing?
To see you guys.
Yeah,
doing
you
well.
Too. Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
What up, Buttercup?
On the radio. Yeah.
We are chipper.
Yes, you are.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
How's the assignment coming?
I'm getting there. I found something here. Let's see.
This itty bitty little bag.
Yeah, I've got a.
I got one too.
There's these birds flying all around in here. I don't know what's going on.
Let's see. Flashlight.
Okay.
See, instead of a.
Do you have your bat shark spray in there?
Oh, I have a lighter.
Chocolates, nylons.
I'll take the nylons, please.
A puppy. I guess I can't find it. I found one of those, the bumper stickers that used to say, they still say, actually, technically, Floyd on assignment.
Oh.
And I was going to bring that in because.
I forgot about those.
Yeah,
Susan, where'd we get those?
Somebody had mentioned that they'd like to use them as a premium.
Oh.
But I don't remember who created those.
Oh, okay. I forgot about
those. It was
those.
Long ago.
I don't
because,
remember that.
Because, yeah, I'm sure they're still in copyright.
Yeah.
If you have any I Miss Nixon bumper stickers, bring those in, please. That would really... That's what I want to put on my car.
Yeah. I have an I Like Ike. Hell, I even miss Harry.
My neighbor gave me a George Wallace button, and it ironically says, Stand Up for Wallace.
Oh.
I think it's from 68.
68.
Jeez.
So Floyd, you're a wealthy landowner in Maine, I hear.
Yes, we bought our own little patch of Maine Trixie did her undergraduate work there.
Oh.
Back in the 80s.
Did she major in the dark arts?
She did, yes.
Slytherin.
Slytherin. Hail Slytherin.
So anyway, we've been looking forever. And then finally,
so is it just land, or is there stuff?
Yeah,
on
it's
it?
Just land. There's trees nothing on it. There are beaver dams and beaver lodges.
Yeah.
Did you know that beavers will let muskrats cohabitate with them through the winter?
I'm opposed to that.
I know. Well,
we've got to put an end to that.
The power differential is so great. That, beavers don't mind.
The governor of Ohio just signed a bill against that.
I imagine he did, yes. And they'll let them eat. The beavers will let the muskrats eat.
Really?
And hang out with them. And
it's muskrat love.
It is, yeah, of a sort, yes. So anyway, yeah, it's got got a pond and some beaver dams. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Really pretty piece of property.
Oh, good.
So our friends Christopher and Lisa, who we've been going out to visit for ever since... forever, they were instrumental. And every time we go out there, we camp on their property and, you know, park on their property and hang out with
them.
Oh,
they were sick of it.
And they, so. Yeah, right. No, they seemed to conspire to get us to stay longer than we intend. And then they were the impetus for us picking
now,
this
now,
up.
Now, so. Floyd, did you know that there was a governor of Wisconsin who was from Maine?
I did not know that.
Cadwallader Washburn.
Oh,
and
okay.
After he got done being governor, he was served two terms or something. His wife got committed to the Nut House because, of course, she was living in Wisconsin.
Well, that happened to Trixie.
So he went back.
Oh, she's not that committed.
He went back to Maine to be with her.
Oh, I see.
So that's
interesting. So he's how Washburn, the town and the county, got their name?
And the Washburn Observatory. He endowed several things before he took off.
Washing Day, I think.
It is. That's
Laundry Day.
Laundry Day.
So you should look up Cadwallader.
I will look up Cadwallader.
Use him as your model, your idol. No shade on Trixie. I just want to say that. She might want to stay away from the Nut House thing.
Right. I would kind of like that, too. There's all
you behave yourself. You won't have that problem.
All those moments leading up to the Nut House moment.
He had me going until right there.
Yeah.
So as a male landowner, you'll be able to vote?
I will be able to
future
vote.
Future elections now. So.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Finally. Yeah. So, yeah, that's our next adventure. We were going to be up north.
Are you going to build on that? Or just
Well, our friend Christopher's an architect. So what we are planning on doing is putting up a deck and a screened-in porch. But what we're probably going to end up with is about
a 900-square-foot
house.
We're just going to start with the deck.
Work our way back.
Yeah.
We're putting the entryway on next year.
It's easier to remain in denial that we're actually building a house. If I just
so are you going to move away?
No, just
from the Badger
State
to the Muskrat State.
No, as much as we're kind of annoyed with the Badger State.
Yeah,
isn't Maine the Pine Tree State?
I think it is. Yeah,
or maybe that's New York. I don't know. A whole bunch of pine trees over there.
Yeah. That's the Empire State.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They are the Empire.
The Umpire State. Right.
Throw the bum out. So no, we're planning on spending maybe fall and into winter there, and then we're still trying to find someplace warm to be.
Yeah, most people try to go to Florida or something.
Oh God!
So you're like, I'll go to Maine.
yeah. I think they'd rather be in Maine.
Yeah.
My brother, when he died, had a condo in Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I have been trying to sell it for 6 years.
It's radio tradio.
Yeah, I
know. And so make an offer.
It costs they've got the. I'll trade you for a dog.
Call it now 256.
Make an offer on Floyd's condo.
Yeah, it's expensive. It costs like $1,600 a month just for the condo, and it's. Maybe a $200,000 condo. It's a little.
And the cocaine is extra there.
And yes, right. He had none when we cleaned it out. We checked carefully.
He used it all.
Yeah. But he did have a whole lot of ear cleaning tools, which was kind of interesting. Like multiple sets.
Are there tools for that?
Yeah, there are, actually. They're complete kits, and he had like six of them. And,
wow,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he had dementia. I probably should have mentioned that.
He probably forgot he had them.
Yes, he did.
And that ordered he had ears.
Them. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So Florida, no. Florida's dead out. Okay. All right. Can't get insurance.
Yeah.
So you can't get a mortgage, so you can't buy a
condo.
So
is this condo near the sea?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's in Punta Gorda. I think they pronounce it Punta Gorda.
Punta Gorda.
So
in a few years, your problems will be over.
Right. You know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not getting any younger.
And two hurricanes. Well, I think you meant the ocean rising.
Oh yes. Yeah, right. Right.
Let's go right into the bad place.
Yeah. But it's funny the things you whine about. It's like having a condo. The privilege.
So he's going to have three properties, Mel. So that means he can vote three times.
Yeah. Three times. Yeah.
That's how it works.
In three different places. I don't think Florida wants my vote.
Well, they just won't count it if they don't want it.
That would be my
hope. Oh, he voted wrong.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, that's what they said to me the first time I voted.
Straight in the shredder.
Yeah. It was an old-fashioned voting booth, and you went in, and I was trying to vote in a primary, and a little button wouldn't go down, or the lever wouldn't go down. And I came out, and I said, there's something wrong with this machine. And it turns out that it was set on Republican, and there was a giant thing on the side where you had to chonk it over from Republican to Satan. And everyone could see what party you were voting for. So, and he goes, oh, here's your problem. You have to hit these. I'm like, no, I don't want those. I want those. And the old guy looked at me. He's like, really?
No one's ever asked that.
No one's ever asked that before.
Yeah. It's all dependent on upper body strength. Exactly.
Here's your problem. It's set on evil. Yeah, right. Oh. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yes, we did. We had plans to have Thanksgiving with our neighbor in up north, Canada. you know, Phil. But we rent that cabin out because...
Yeah.
And people really like it.
What, you have a cabin in Canada too?
No. This is just in... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. Up north.
Up north.
Okay. And we were going to have Thanksgiving with Phil, but... somebody rented the cabin for the weekend.
Yeah.
So we were down here.
Just trying to figure out who to blame here.
You know, you should take your vast holdings and like make them contiguous. That would be better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just an observer's remark.
Yeah, right.
It's Thanksgiving. It's time for the land grab. Yeah, we're done with the pie. Now it's time to steal the land.
Yeah. Not sure how that would work exactly, but it'd be fun to try.
That'd be quite an empire. That'd be like the Louisiana Purchase.
It would be. It'd be the Floyd Purchase.
Sounds less good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that our cabin up north is pretty much dead center in the middle of the Million Acre Swamp.
Wow.
Which is what it's called up there.
That's cool.
Big swamp. I don't know if it's exactly a million acres.
They really weren't trying to sell any property up there.
No, they weren't. No, just lumber.
The Million Acre Swamp. Let's go with something a little less honest.
Yeah,
how about Typhoid Bay?
Yeah. yeah.
All right. They found a lost John Ford film, a 100-year-old film. It was found in Chile.
Oh.
It was 100 years old, the film. It was,
what's it about?
I don't know.
Yeah, about 50 minutes long.
It'll let me in here.
Did they have the whole film?
It looks like it was called The Scarlet Drop. It's been rediscovered nearly in its entirety in Chile.
Mm.
Released in 1918.
Wow.
It was one of 26 Westerns Ford made with actor Harry Carey, the most prolific partnership of the six-time Emmy Award-winning director's storied career.
Cool.
Described at the time as the most supreme hit of Harry Carey's career, the film has been missing since its initial release. About 30 minutes of the film exists in the Getty Archives, but no full cut, they thought, remained, but now it was discovered in Santiago.
Most supreme. I have problems with that locution.
You mean they're less supreme?
Yeah. It's supreme or it's not supreme. I'm sorry.
It's more unique.
It's more unique. It's the most uniquest.
So you're going to talk about the Australia?
Yeah, I just finished reading that book by Jonathan Haidt, The Anxious Generation, and he's talking about how you can see starting in about 2010 how young people have become more and more depressed and listless and angry about everything, and there's a lot of really good like sort of mega studies that show that it's just related to their use of social media. And one of the things that you may know that is that in the United States, originally the age for having an account on social media was originally proposed to be 16, but in the late 90s when people thought, whatever, you know, how could it hurt, they moved it down to 13. And so Haidt and others have said, well, you need to move it back up to 16. Like, it, you know, should be at least the age that, yeah, you know,
It before they get too old, because then you get like your mom sending you all those.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So Australia, they're of course, a lot of people are worried this isn't going to work, but they basically said, look, we think that, I mean, you're basically advertising to kids, you know. You know, I mean, it's like, hey, you 5-year-olds, would you like some cigarettes? I mean, this is what this is comparable to. And so they said they have to be 16 to have an account. Now, of course, children are still going to find their way onto social media sites. They're still going to find their way onto the internet, but there's going to be at least some kind of speed bump along the way. And so what's interesting about this is they're not criminalizing it for the people that are doing it. They're telling the social media platforms themselves that they have to take reasonable steps to prevent anyone from under 16 from having an account.
Is it legal to tell the tech bros what to do anymore?
Not in this country, but... But poor Australia's going to try. Yeah, see what happens.
That's cute. Yeah, I know. They think they're in charge. Yeah, right. It's like Maggie Simpson driving the toy car, toy steering wheel.
That's exactly it.
They think they're people.
Yeah. Oh, I remember getting up for the Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And they were constantly selling to me.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar Pops.
Yeah.
Which are bits of blown sugar.
Lucky sugar. Well, there's you can find cigarette commercials for Winston's with Fred and Barney Rubble.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those are on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
I enjoy those.
Yes.
Smooth, satisfying commercials.
Not a muffin in a carload.
Barney, Wilma's on my ass again.
Hey, Fred, have a Winston. That'll cool you off.
I was watching an old. We had ham for Thanksgiving this year instead of turkey. Oh. And I was watching an old commercial for a ham that had a whole bunch of singing pigs. I thought, yeah, okay. These pigs desperately want to be ham.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like Piggly Wiggly, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
The pig is like their mascot. Saying,
yeah, or pretty much any barbecue joint with the pig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
what is it?
Apron and knives. Yeah. And knives. Blood flying all over.
Yipes.
Yikes. And they don't do that with cows so much.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
That was the whole Charlie the Tuna thing.
It's like, right.
Here,
yeah,
put a hook in my mouth and chop me
Filet
up.
Filet me, gut me, and stuff me in a can.
The classic Trump voter.
And then they're Googling, is it bad to be stuffed in a can? Yeah, right.
Well, they won't stuff my family in a can. Nobody in my school is going to get stuffed in a can. It's those others.
Yeah. That's right. So,
hey, let's do a monkey story. I got one here. This is a classic Mel and Floyd interest. This is a new study that's been done in the Congolese rainforests, and they found that that the apes that have been known to poke a hole into the ground with a stout stick and then grab a long stem and strip it through with their teeth, they make like a little brush-like end of the stick. They basically sort of fray it. Mm-hmm. And then they use it as a sweeper, like a little broom or something, to get termites, to sweep up the termites. It turns out that these apes are basically sharing this technology with each other. There's a cultural anthropologist from the University of St. Andrews in Scotland has been studying this, and he says they've set out to demonstrate that advanced use of tools are an example of a human-like cultural transmission that these bands of apes are engaging in. So these apes throughout Central and East Asia, somebody came along and figured this out, and now they're all doing it, apparently. The study was published last week in the journal Science, and expert I just mentioned, Andrew Whiten is his name, he says that chimpanzees have a tiny degree of cumulative culture. It's not a lot, but it's obviously there. So it's they're all learning how to...
More than we have.
Yes.
Yeah. What if we put them on social media then?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's probably some influencer. They probably, right, yeah, they yeah. probably have a word for that in chimpanzee.
We call it a chimpfluencer. But they have set up little workshops, and now they're making them, and they've got chimps who go door to door.
Macaques have to make them, of course. Yeah. For not as many termites as you might expect.
No.
I didn't bring in the story, but I read not too long ago that they did a survey of, I think they were like junior high kids, the typical, what do you want to be when you grow up kind of thing, and like a third of them said they wanted to be influencers.
Wow.
So it's the other two-thirds that will be influenced?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd rather be a follower than a leader.
Yeah. A lot less exposed.
So Kenosha has a little castle building when you come not too far off the interstate there on 94. And now it's full of cheese.
Really?
It's a 46,000 square foot cheese store where a shopper can pick up pretty much any kind of cheese you want, including cheesy gummy worms.
Ugh.
And
sorry, did I say that out loud?
And you could also get a cheese hat, like the ones people
oh, yeah, the
wear
cheese
at the Packers.
Things.
Hey,
yeah.
Cheese kills everybody. Come
it
on.
It does, yeah.
Hey, you can't say that.
Oh, can I? Okay.
No, that's illegal and immoral.
Unless you put it on your head. If you put it on your head, then you're
then
fine.
It won't kill.
Yeah, then it won't kill.
Cheese lives.
Hey, it's that time of year when we're all trapped inside, and here's some helpful hints from Mel and Floyd about how to keep the air inside your home clean during the holidays.
Oh.
Yes, okay. So for better air quality, the most important thing you can do is to remove, I'm looking at you, yep, I'm going to remove yep, the yep. dust. So start by cleaning your floors. I have to do that today, actually. I'm going to do that today. Then you wipe a dust or one of those microfiber cloths across mm-hmm. the flat surface. I love those things, by the way. I you know, people talk about like penicillin, but I got to tell you, Swiffers is the greatest thing that humans have ever invented. It really is. Back me up on this. Okay.
Better than that damn milk pasteurization.
Yeah, obviously that's on the way out. Control cooking fumes, and we talked about this last week. Of course, you have a gas range that's a source of ventilation problems in your home, just to let you know that. Manage the smoky stuff. If you're lighting a menorah, for example, or festive mm-hmm. candles, start by trimming the wicks.
You light your yarmulke every year.
Yeah,
this,
I
this
do.
Time
yep.
of year.
Yeah, it's the time of year.
I thought others would light it for you.
No lack of volunteers.
Exactly. It's always a good idea to ventilate your home and to have at least one air filter. And most modern HVAC systems are set up to bring in a little bit of fresh air. So if you don't have that, then crack a window. And where we live, we crack the window.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just take a big rock and right through the window.
So Ben Franklin loved fresh air. He always
did.
He slept with the windows open, but that's because he smelled like a French lady of the night most of the time.
Or Charlie the Tuna.
Yeah, for some unexplained reason. Yeah, that's right.
And John Adams, I think he liked fresh air too.
Yeah. No, that was the famous thing in the Adams Chronicles when they were in
he didn't.
In Paris. No,
oh, they
he
would want, fight over it.
He wanted the window closed because that was John Adams, Mr. OCD himself.
No wonder he's your favorite president.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, yeah, at night you'd have the bad air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, people worried about that back
in
the day.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I don't think Franklin believed in bad air.
No, I don't
think that was not one of his things. One of my favorite Franklin quotes I just ran across again the other day was when in his autobiography he talks about he thought about not eating meat at mm-hmm. one point, becoming a vegetarian. Then he changed his mind on it. He said, because, you know, I notice other animals are eating other animals all the time, mm-hmm. so why can't humans? And he realized at the same time that that was a completely fallacious argument. And he said, his famous quote was, "What's the point of being rational if you can't rationalize?" And I thought, oh, good for you, Ben Franklin. He's ironically aware of his own failings.
That reminds me, I was out walking Clopsy this morning, and there was like a million wild turkeys out around my house.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they decided it's safe to come out now.
Day after, it's safe.
All right, time to declare the weekend. Enjoy the weekend. And
I brought my whistle.
Oh, you got your slide whistle.
Your whistle.
Whoa!
It's going to be a special weekend.
Excellent.
Blew out the monitors. All right. Well, Floyd, it was great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Pan's always great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Stick around. The kiosk is next, and then after that, I forgot your name. Elmer?
Elmer.
Elmer's coming up to do Who Cooks For You, but I forget your DJ name, though.
The other It'll just be Elmer today.
Okay. It's Elmer with the Who Cooks For You. And then after that, Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind. All kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station, WORT, Madison. And thanks for listening, and we'll yak at you next Friday. Bye-bye. Have a great week.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, November 29th.
This is Bird Note. Author Ray Youngbear has a special bond with a red-winged blackbird in his backyard on the Meskwaki Nation's land in Iowa.
The red-winged blackbird is very friendly, and it's the first time that's ever happened in my life. I've asked it in Meskwaki, Gewishaban, "Now what, Shabuich again? I've got some food here. Please wait." And the bird will listen. And then, you know, I'll just get the bird feed, and he takes it, and off it goes. And that's the first time in my life in 71 years that a bird has approached me that close.
But it's not the first time he's had interactions with these birds. Many years ago, when he was training his singing voice, Ray Youngbear took a kind of vocal lesson from the blackbirds.
In order to hone my skills with music, I'm a singer of native songs, and I'd go out into the field way out of nowhere and scream my lungs out, my throat out, and oftentimes the birds that I would hear in the woods were the red wings, and I would listen to them and try to imitate their singing. They have the most complicated song in the world. High pitches and low notes, and then it smooths out and it kicks up again. And I used